We're just going to get our feet wet a little bit. We only have a few minutes, but hopefully tomorrow we'll get a little bit more of this. Because this is the first Shir of the Zman, so we're going to try to find the introductory nature of the sugya. And indeed, there is one. And indeed, if we look at the sugya, so we can find how it touches upon principles which are also Shas principles. This is a pretty major Shas sugya, and comes up in a number of ways, and also allows us to revisit and explore a little bit more some basic concepts of how the Kinyan Kedushin works. So just, we'll read the Gemara together, but just to introduce the concept for a minute, just to kind of identify what we want to figure out about it. So the notion of Matan al Manasa Hatsin, the idea that there theoretically could be a gift which at the same time comes with a condition that the gift has to be returned, that concept is a little bit of a funny concept, and it provokes a number of questions. So just on the surface, before we even see the Gemara, just so we have a view of what we're trying to look for, what kind of questions would you ask about that very concept, about what does it mean, about the fundamental nature of such an idea? Matana Manasa Hatzer, what intrigues you about that notion? I don't know who's up first, Jonah?
Sure. Okay. The question is, if such a thing would, how, if it works, mm-hmm. is it that the action that's supposed to go through with the condition, is that in itself work, or does it require the condition itself in order to be effective?
Okay, so that's an important question, as we'll see, which is a little bit of a detailed question. You know, that really is a question about Tanoi more than it is about Matan al-Manasa Hatzer. Right, so Noah is asking that once you make a condition as part of your deal, so you have a lot of complexities, which our sugya is going to touch upon a little bit, that condition, that could be an issue that doesn't even have to come to the unique situation of Matan al-Manasa Hatzer, but just anything that's conditional. And so if you make a condition, and you say that it's conditional on something that's going to happen next month, you provoke already a lot of questions. What happens if that doesn't take place? Does it have retroactive effect? Does it have effect from then on forward? There are all kinds of complications you introduce into life once you start talking about conditions. And that's relevant here for sure. And that creates some unique complexities. But even without dealing with the issue of conditions, there's something else here that's strange. Jonah?
Kind of strikes at the heart of the question of ownership and mm-hmm. something's really yours.
Okay.
How did you cause someone to...
Okay, right. So on a more fundamental basis, right? What does it mean to own something? So I think there's really two questions here that you could ask. They're probably related. They may be the same question, but you could ask it from two different directions. Jacob, did you want to actually say the same thing? Did you want to say something else? Right, so the question is, first of all, I mean, you may consider these to be the same question, but what's the difference between giving somebody a matana al manasa hatzer and lending it? And we know there's a concept of giving something you expect to get back, and we normally consider that to be called lending something. So how does that change in this format? So because I call it a matana al manasa hatzer instead of a loan, that has a halachic difference? What's practically different? And we know that they are halachically different, right? How do we know that they are halachically different? Okay, so that's definitely a good example. Right, when it comes to Esrog, on the first day of Sukkah specifically, so we know that you have to own the Esrog. Torah uses the word lachem, which becomes a basis for a lot of discussion by other mitzvahs. Well, you also have a requirement of ownership. All builds on the Esrog model. L'kachta mochev. And there we know explicitly, God willing, she was learning Sukkah next year, so once you finish the fifth parak of Kedushin, you can talk about Sukkah. So in Sukkah we know, and you saw Tanamar Makomas list here also, so, well, this Gemara specifically is broader, but when it comes to lulav and esrog, on the first day, a esrog that is shawl is no good. You have to own the esrog. And yet, Matan al-Manach Sahachzir is effective. So clearly, we are seeing an actual halakhic difference between lending something and giving it as a Matan al-Manach Sahachzir. Lending would be no good. Matan al-Manach Sahachzir is good. So what is the difference in the words? They sound like two different ways of saying the same thing. And by the way, this is not a theoretical question. The mechanism of Matan al-Manach Sahachzir for lieu of an esrog was used, and probably still is used, around the world until recently and beyond. So we are now all rich. We're all very fortunate that we have our own lieu of an esrogim and that we're already habituated to go to shul on Sukkot and see everybody holding their own lulav and esrog. But not so long ago in America, and certainly in Europe, that wasn't the case. You had maybe one or two or three sets per shul. So the notion of using Matan al-Manach Sahachzir for lulav and esrog is very practical. That's how it was done. This is not a theoretical concept. Somehow we define this differently than lending, even though we don't yet know where that is. So that's something that we have to keep an eye out for. Where do you find one transferring to the other in such a concrete way that it actually has this halakhic ramification? And the second question, which again, maybe you could call it the other half of the first question, but how can you call something a matana when you're obligated to give it back? You would probably think that there's something about the nature of a matana that allows you to keep it. The idea that somebody can give you a matana and obligate you to return it, it makes you feel like something's phony over there. It makes you feel like they're basically using you. Well, how could it be that they're calling it a gift? I imagine if somebody comes to your wedding with a huge box and poses for a picture giving it to you and then says, okay, now I've got to take it back, it doesn't seem like anything was really accomplished there. So to call it a gift, to call it a matana when you're obligated to return it, seems like a semantic joke. It seems like you're basically being used for somebody else's ploy and you're not really getting anything out of it. So these are two questions which could be the same question, which we have to try to keep our eye out for. Right? What's the difference at all between lending and giving as a matana manas lahachzir? And how can we call it a matana if indeed you have to give it back? Yes, Bill?
What's the time frame on the returning of the object?
That's a good question. Right, so presumably it is. And this is a question we've shown and discussed a little bit, for example, just because you're asking the question now. So Noah brought up the question of how crucial it is to make sure the condition is fulfilled. So the Rishonim discuss, so since it's crucial that it actually gets fulfilled, right, so you have all kinds of mind-bending, retroactive problems here. So let's say, for example, I were to say, I'm giving you my lulav on condition that you give it back, and you take it, and you do the mitzvah, and everyone thinks you're wonderful, and you fulfill the mitzvah perfectly, and then you decide never to give it back. So apparently, somehow, retroactively, your mitzvah is no good. Already we're playing with time paradoxes and strange things happening. So the Rishonim discuss that the scenario the Gemara in Sukkah has about Matan al-Manach Sahachzir, and again, this is probably a practical scenario for the situations where you only have one set per shul, is that Reuven gives it to Shimon, and Shimon gives it to Levi, and Levi gives it to Yehuda, etc., etc. So it's going around a bunch of people. So wait a minute. So how did Shimon fulfill his mitzvah? Shimon has to give it back to Reuven, right? So he didn't give it back to Reuven. He gave it to Levi. Is that a problem? So Rishonim discuss this, as we'll see. And apparently not. Apparently we are allowed to assume that there, when Reuven said, I want it back, he meant I want it back after everyone who needs it has finished with it. And the fact that Shimon doesn't immediately give it back to him, but instead gives it to the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, and then after all that, it ends up back in the hands of Reuven, that's still a fulfillment of the condition. But it's crucial, because if the condition isn't fulfilled, then we're in trouble. So apparently we have to figure out, in every case, what is the expectation. It's not necessarily always explicit, but it's going to be an important point, because if the condition isn't fulfilled, then everything gets retroactively messed up. So now let me ask you a third question. So if we are already alerted to these strange paradoxes within Matana Manasa Hatzir, so let's say I were to tell you that there are some cases in Halacha where Matana Manasa Hatzir works, and there are some cases where it doesn't work. How would you try to make up a rule for when they should work and when it shouldn't work? Would you think it should never work? If you would think that it works for something, where would it make more sense that it should work? Where would it make less sense? Where would you say for sure it can't work? Any thoughts? Well, what makes no sense from the Tom Nasa? What potentially makes a little bit of sense? Jonah?
I would possibly mechanic in different scenarios.
Okay.
I would either say that sometimes it's less important to me that the item kind of stays with the owner, meaning that temporary ownership would bother me less, and sometimes it would bother me more. So for example, if I'm just trying to, let's say, create a kinyan, right? So let's say by matter, I know that Khalifan works, then something like this possibly wouldn't bother me either. It's just a small action, right? But let's say by something that you possibly need, Khadnam and Nisharas,
just make up a phrase.
That would bother me. And then also, if you look at this as, let's say, a lessened vitalis in comparison to a permanent kinyan, then I would say that things that require, let's say, a lesser degree of vitalis, I would be okay with it, and things that which need more of a degree of vitalis.
All right, so let's break down what you said. Okay, so, because the third part is the most complicated, because we don't know what would fit into that, right? But the first thing you said, if I got you correctly, was that if something is really symbolic, let's say the acting, the giving, is supposed to represent something, so then, okay, I can hear it. There's no actual need that the item stay in the hands of the person taking it. So maybe whatever fits into that category, Matana Manasa Hachzir, is what you talk about. The second category, how did you articulate that?
The degree of vitalis needed of the object.
That was the third thing, right?
I thought
you only said two. Okay, it's actually. So let's insert something in between you.
Okay,
let's create a second one. So where would you think it makes very little sense from a Tom and Asa Hatsu to work?
Something that can be returned by nature.
Okay, what kind of thing would fit into that category?
Something that can be consumed.
Okay, all right, that's important, right? If there's a practical problem, and that comes up also, right? That's also one of the details that have to be figured out. If you're going to do something that will make it impossible for you to give it back, you're going to somebody matzah, amanas lahasir, on Seder night, it's going to be a little tricky, right? So that's an issue. But I was still looking for something even without that. What about some if you really owe somebody something, if you have to really pay for something? So it doesn't seem to make sense that if you're supposed to be actually giving somebody something, that they can be obligated to give it back to you and you're still okay. And that'll definitely make your bills easier. So if you pay the electric company and say, okay, I'm paying my bill on Matana Manasa Hatzir, and then you take it back and you pay the phone company with the same money, Matana Manasa Hatzir, and you pay the grocery bill, Matana Manasa Hatzir, you do everything with the same money. So that would definitely make life a lot easier, but hard to imagine why that should work, right? That you have an actual debt to these people, so they're not going to be satisfied with payment that they have to give right back. So I think that's kind of what we want to sketch out to begin with, right? That if there isn't really a monetary debt to some person, but you're supposed to symbolize something, okay, so then maybe Matana Manasa Hachzir has some plausibility. But if you really have a debt, or you really have a need to pay somebody, let's say, so then it's hard to see how Matana Manasa Hatzir could fit in. Now, your third category, which was your second category, we pushed down to the third one. So then you get very lumpus, and we don't really know yet what fits into that category that Jonah mentioned. What about where bailus doesn't have to be complete? So we don't know yet at all what that means. Where a situation where what does bilis mean? When does it have to be complete, not complete? So that's definitely going to eventually enter into the equation. But I think the first two points are the things that come to mind a little bit more. So, with that, let's ask one last question. So where do you think Kedushin should fit into this mix? How would you classify Kesef Kedushin? What makes sense to you? Should it be effective for Matana Manasseh Hachzir? Should it not be effective? What would you say? What's more logical?
Before or after reading?
Before, right? What's more logical based on how you understand what's going on? Jacob?
So we've discussed that the money, when it comes to Kedushin, is more symbolic.
Oh,
so
seems like it, right?
Seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there is an issue that it's less than Shavuot Kruta, that it doesn't work, so it would seem that there are contradictory sides to it, but
okay,
assuming it's the first way that it's just symbolic, then it should work, because if we said a symbolic kinyan, think Matana Manasseh should work.
Mm-hmm.
If you go assuming that there needs to be some type of chashivas to the kinyan, then it would seem that Matana Manasseh does not work. If it doesn't display the seriousness and the, as we discussed previously,
all right, very interesting. Jacob just said a ton of things, so we'll have to see how that fits in, just to kind of recap at the highlight his major points. On the second, see what Jacob just highlighted, right? That first of all, it seems like Kedushin could be a good candidate for the symbolic Kenyan component. And then maybe there is room to say, yeah, why not Matana Manasseh Hachzir, right? He managed to say that without even mentioning the Taz and Smile, the whole story.
I thought it was,
yeah, I know. Right, so you know we're obligated to insert that into all these of you. So they'll come up. That's the way it is. But certainly, speaking broadly, it would seem like there's a lot of basis to say that there's no debt here, right? And there's no actual transaction of a trade. So the concept should be symbolic. So Matana Manasseh Hachzir should maybe have room to be discussed in the concept of Kesef Kedushin. So then Jacob brought up very well that, so where might there be a problem? Maybe the problem is not in the sense that it's comparable to a purchase in a store or paying off your electricity bill or something else where the whole concept doesn't make sense. That's not our problem. Our problem is that there are other issues here that may be an issue. So Shavuot Pruta, the fact that there has to be some actual value, does that clue us into the fact that still something here is not perfect? There's something that may not meet the standard, even though it's not as wildly illogical as other things are. And to say that you can pay off your electricity bill with Matana Manasseh Hachzir, that's very hard for us to understand. To say you could do a Kenyan Kedushin, it's not so crazy, but maybe there are reasons that it's problematic, and maybe it has to do more with a chashivas kind of concern. Yitzchak, you had a comment? Okay, Noah?
I guess two different ideas. The first one is kind of from Tosfos' conception of Kinyan as hekdesh, as an iser. So then that.
Yeah, Tosfos a base and a base.
Base on a base.
Yeah.
So then that would fit into the third category about the nature of bilis. Because Kinyan, in that kind of sense, has some sort of, bilis aspect to it. In addition, like in terms of Nisuin, if Nisuin's about Hafnasas, Lurishus, then that would also seemingly be something that involves bilis.
Well, I see that you're opening up a lot of doors there. Because what you're talking about is in terms of bilis and the relationship. But the question is here, we're not talking about, and this is a distinction that's easy to miss because they slip back and forth into each other, but we're not saying that this is Kedushin almanas ligarish or something like that. We're not saying that the Kedushin is conditioned on reversing itself. Right? We're saying that the Kesef has to go back. So it might be that that's distinct from the question of how complete is it, hektish, is it nesuin, is it, how complete is the relationship. That very possibly is a whole separate question from the Kesef being on Manasseh Hachzir. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to bother us. We'll see other examples of where, like the example pigeon abed, where we have to bifurcate between the kesef and the process. So the amanas lahachzir here is on the kesef, and the question is, you need bilus on that. So that's where Jacob's a little touching upon it, that maybe you need at least some kind of chashivas, you need a shavu kesef, and a question of whether that's going to be there. So, with that, let's just try to quickly get a look at the Gemara, and we'll have to investigate all these issues in more detail tomorrow. So the Gemara says here on Vav Amud Beis that Amarava Helach Mana Almanach Shetachzi Ruhu Li. If somebody says, "Here's a mana, but you got to give it back," what's the story? The Mecher Lo Kana, that as a sale, no good. Now this may seem obvious again in terms of the examples we're saying before about paying off your bills, although here we could mean the Kinyan Kesef for a matter. So it's not as obvious as it has to sound. The Isha Aina Mekudeshes. Pigeon of Ben, Aim Bonapodli. Use a pigeon of Ben, no good. But Petruma, Yatsa Yidei Nesina, Vlaasir Lassus Kane, Mipnation Nira Kikoin, Mesayeh Beis Abrams. So this is a distinction that, in light of everything we've said so far, is probably surprising. And the whole situation of Kohen Mesayeh Beis Abranos, which very quickly a number of you were asking about it, that, roughly speaking, refers to a situation where it looks like the Kohen is made to work for his truma. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to give the truma in a dignified fashion. So if you have the Matana Manasa Hachzir by the truma, but worried, do you have some kind of a deal with some kind of a kickback kind of thing? I'll give you this truma, you give it back to me, and then I'll sell it, I'll give you other trumas. So we don't like anything that makes it look like the Kohen has to work for his living in terms of trumas and maestros. So that's a side point, but it's interesting, this distinction so far, right, is probably not what we would have expected. Right, Kiddushin, we would have thought, yeah, so maybe we could talk about Matana Manas Lahatsu. Pigeon Aben, maybe not. We'll have to figure out what Pigeon Aben is really about. Is it about actually giving the Kohen money that he deserves? Or is it about going through some type of a process which doesn't necessarily make any claim that he deserves to keep the money? Mecher, again, if we say Mecher is the kinyan as opposed to the payment for the object, then it's closer to Kedusha. All of those could have been cases where maybe there's what to talk about it with Matana Manas Lahatsu. But here, Mara says, oh, none of those are good. Which one is good? Truma. But you shouldn't do it for that technical reason. That's probably the one I would have thought is least good. I'm supposed to be giving the Kohen my truma. So this is a joke, I'll give it to you, you have to give it back. Especially, you know, like you said, it's supposed to be consumed. Right? You're supposed to eat it. So what exactly is the deal here? I'm going to give you this truma, but you can't eat it? So far, Gemara is basically the exact opposite of what you would have guessed about everything. So, says the Gemara, Maika Sovereign, but what exactly is Rava thinking? And really, the Gemara is asking because it's just you should pick a side here. If you're going to say that Matana Manas Lahachzir really is a Matana, right? So here the Gemara is assuming it's a general Shas Machlokas. There is one stance on this. You've got to figure out, is it a Matana or is it not a Matana? If it is, then I feel cool now, let's say it by all of them. Let's not draw any distinctions. If you're going to say there's not a Matana, then I feel a Truma Nami Lo. It shouldn't work for Truma either. Right, so that's already interesting because, again, the assumption is there's no distinctions to be drawn, we should just take aside. And all that bothers the Gemara right now about this scenario, which was the opposite of what we would have guessed, is just that we should be one direction or the other, we shouldn't be making any distinctions. He's the one who likes someone gives somebody an esrog, not that as long as he fulfilled the tanai, returning it, then he's yotze, and if he doesn't fulfill the tanai, he's not, but you see that it could work. So Elo Amar Ravashi, says Ravashi, no, v'kulhu kani, yeah, it works, it's good, it works for everything. Levar mi'isha, with the exception of Isha. So now we're a little surprised again because we thought that there was something at least to entertain about Kinyan Kedushin and Matam Rasa Achzir. Why? Because Chalipin is no good. Yes, Taka Ulir. So we're already over time, but we're going to have to pick up tomorrow. So what's already surprising about that? Chalipin. Who's talking about Chalipin? Right, is Chalipin the same thing as Matala Manasa Achzir? Not necessarily. Right, so Rashi here, just to rush through, Rashi here says that because you give it back, right, the last line, Rashi on the page, V'hai l'chalipin dami ki kinyin u'besudr, de'eino elo oches bo machziro, because there, when it comes to the handkerchief, all they do is they pick it up and they give it back. But that's not so conclusive, right, because we talked about that, right, you don't necessarily have to give it back, and it's not the only kind of chalipin that works. But somehow, apparently, it looks like chalipin, and that's a problem. What in the world does that mean? Is that a psul daraisa, a psul darabanan? Sorry?
Depends on the rishonim.
Right, so Tosfos says darabanan. Other rishonim may not agree. So what exactly is going on here? How does this shtim with any of our expectations? What does this say about the nature of kinyan kedushin? What does it say about the nature of Matana and Asta Hachzir? Is our Gemara telling us more about one concept or the other? All of these are vital mysteries, which God willing, tomorrow we will explore in greater depth. I wish you all a wonderful first day of this month.